Welcome, everybody, to another episode of the Chop Sports Daily, coming to you live from Mattawa, New Jersey, right here at the Flipping Made Easy studio, in Studio A, because there's Studio B, and then there's the common room, and I did a whole video today. I'm going to release it today. It's pretty cool. But Sturch and Gooch are back on a hump day, and there's a lot to talk about. I mean, look, we're right in the mix of a lot of things, like all the seasons are happening. You know what I mean? So, like, that's when you know there's going to be a story every single day. We know our wheelhouse is obviously the NFL, but we cannot disregard all the other shenanigans that are happening. Speaking of shenanigans, to update anybody who actually gives an ounce of a shit, yesterday's audition for the Somerset Patriots went swimmingly. It went well. I had a good time. The guys remember me from, you know, when I worked there in 2019. So that was, like I said, a little not discouraging. It was encouraging.
It was encouraging for you, discouraging for the other.
Discouraging for the guy that was walking out. Yeah. I mean, apparently there's seven people to choose from. Started at a nice big number, down to seven. I'm with it. Good morning, Mattawan. AJ Bascone checking in. The pick, I almost call him the pick beaver. The prop beaver. I mixed him and Dina together. But anyway, that's not a thing. I scissored them. Yep, scissored. I scissored them. Yeah, because that's, yeah. Listen, who knows what goes down at that Kyle house? Thank God they're moving in soon, because they need their separation. You know, but the audition went great. I had a good time doing it. We'll find out in December if I become the new voice of the Somerset Patriots, who are, which they will let you know, because it's all over their stadium that they are the AA affiliate of the New York Yankees.
Danimal a mascot job.
He should, right? I mean, he's there every game. Yeah, I mean, look, I can't knock the supporters. You know what I mean? Like, it's one thing to knock him because he constantly posts and he shares his own posts within the group. I don't know if he notices that he's doing that, but he's doing that. He's like, oh, I got a good point. I'm going to share it to the same group that I just shared it to. So he's excited.
I don't mind those things. What I mind is when people break news that's been broken already.
Yeah, but that's so hard, because when you go on a Chop Sports Facebook group, it's just a lint, like, just,
you know, like right in a row. I understand.
Who's going to break the news? We don't have a Schefter.
That's kind of on us, where we don't moderate enough inside the group to kind of funnel the comments all into one place. But it's impossible, because there's a lot of comments a day. But I do agree that some of the posts are a little sketch. That said,
like, he congratulated Kevin Cash for winning Manager of the Year. Nobody gives a shit. Not one person gives a rat's ass about Kevin Cash winning Manager of the Year. But again, it is news, and I don't know if that's the shtick he's going for. I don't know if that's the
you know, gave out those awards.
At least the Coach of the Year, or Manager of the Year.
That was yesterday.
Yesterday, Kevin Cash.
So then we're gonna get MVPs and all these things coming soon.
I hate that they do it after the season.
No. They do it
because then you're going to be like, well, the playoffs.
It's all about a news cycle. Once baseball starts to die out and people stop talking about it,
they drop awards.
They drop awards so they can get back in the news. That's just marketing.
Yeah, but I mean, like, if they're giving out MVPs and Cy Youngs and everything based off regular season, correct? There's never you're not supposed to include the postseason in your award process, but. You think about it, though.
I understand.
You know, like, but, oh, Aaron Judge, Silver Slugger. But, you know, he didn't show up in that wild card game.
I think that they do that, it almost gives the team that you're playing reason to gun for that guy. Not that they shouldn't be gunning for him anyway, but how many times do you see the MVP get knocked out in the playoffs the same week he gets named MVP? It's like such a bittersweet thing for that guy. I think that you should kind of let it go till the season ends, let the wounds heal, and then the guy could reflect back on his season when it's said and done. Give him 2 weeks to enjoy it.
Yeah.
So I think they got it right.
Scoop Espo chiming in. Obviously, he goes, he went to the Chop Sports page and saw if he got any engagement. And he's talking about Kevin Cash. He thinks Kevin Cash is a member of Chop Sports. And that could very well be a thing. Who knows? But yeah, so the Patriots thing went. I had a good time. We'll see about that come December, where I decided to stack my plate just a little higher. So we are in the midst of a great NFL season, in which it's funny because Jimmy Palumbo sent me an article from the New York Post, because, again, he is one of the last I don't know, 10 to 12 people in the world that get a paper delivered to their house. Him, Janine, my dad, seems to be that age, you know, like that age group, you know, that gets the paper sent to their house. Not to knock Janine, because she's young and spry. Talking about the old people like my dad and Jimmy Palumbo. And even those guys are going to get on me now. My dad will be like, are you kidding me? Actually, I got to fix something. You know what? I'll ask you on the air, because I'm curious. So he put in for, remember I told you he had Matt Ryan
okay
ready to go for next week, like this week coming up, not against the Cowboys. Then he saw, oh, there's Janine coming from left field. Hello, Janine. You're beautiful. I love you. Whatchamacallit. So my dad had Matt Ryan last week on the bench ready to roll for this week because he has Stafford as his quarterback, right? And then he's like, no, I want Jimmy Garoppolo. And then he went and got Jimmy Garoppolo. Then, like last night, I went up and I woke up this morning and I looked at my league and nobody had any waiver claims. Like it was the first week that everybody was like, I'm good. I don't need any of these guys that are on the thing. And my dad said he put in for Cam Newton for Garoppolo. And he's like subject to waivers until Wednesday. Why? Like, why is that a thing? He should have been granted him today.
Not ESPN?
No, this is NFL.com. Like, I didn't really understand, like, why he's not. He was a free agent last week, Cam Newton. Then all of a sudden, he becomes, like, yellow, and it was waivers. But why? He's a free agent.
I can't answer that.
And dude, I asked him, I said, did anybody else pick him up and drop him?
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
But maybe. I looked, and there was nothing there. It's got to be a glitch, because now I have to go in as the commish, give him Cam Newton, and then wait for the first text to come from some other team saying,
you don't have a thing where it's a recur. I know the way you run your archaic league. So basically what happens is it resets every week, the waivers, correct?
Based off standings, yeah.
Okay, so it doesn't affect anything other than the fact that your dad deserves Cam. That's not a big deal.
No, I don't think so.
I don't think anyone will have an issue if you go in there and just put Cam on your father's
team. That's what I'm going to have to do.
Because the waiver's cleared. He's still a free agent.
Why is he subject to waivers?
I have a question. Why isn't it done yet?
Well, because I've been promoting. So
I understand that, but what's going to end up happening is someone right now is listening. They're going to go add Cam, and then you're going to have to deal with
it. Well, no, I'm making it official right now that my dad now owns Cam Newton.
Okay.
And he will be starting in this
week. Also, Mr. Sturge, drop Cam Newton and pick up somebody else. That's my advice.
You just think he's going to be one of those guys that just... I think my dad thinks he's going to get that guaranteed one passing, one running touchdown again and get him in the 14 to 17 range of points in fantasy. Because we, as normal folk, give 6 points for passing touchdowns. Unlike those crazy folks that give out 4 points because... Why?
Yeah, so quarterbacks score triple every other player in the league.
It's a quarterback-driven league, Gooch. All right. Okay, so whatever. Anyway, we're speaking of NFL.com. It's a great segue because we, again, decided. Look, I don't. Jesus Christ was the winner of this first league. Good play, AJ. I like it. I like it a lot. But anyway, we were talking about NFL.com. I don't put too much stock into the power rankings.
I don't either, unless
our teams are in the conversation of being some of the best teams in the sport right now, in the league. So right now, what you're looking at is NFL.com's power rankings, where they have them. And we'll go 10 to 1. So rounding out the back end of it is the Baltimore Ravens sticking around, the Rams, the Chiefs, then the Bucks. We're getting better, and now all of a sudden the Patriots make a debut into the power rankings. Then you got the Bills, the Cardinals, the Cowboys at 3, the Titans at 2, and of course, Gooch's Green Bay Packers at 1. Now, the way I see this, now I know you're not going to argue 1, right?
No, firmly entrenched.
You think firmly entrenched?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's where I think you're wrong, because I think you not only do you go with winners to go up, and yes, the Packers won their game, but you have to consider this is a power ranking. This is a ranking based off what you just did for me in the NFL, right? They won 17-0 over the Seattle Seahawks, and Russell Wilson might have played his worst game of his life, right?
You can make that.
The Cowboys went in there.
You can say that the Packers defense just played amazing.
No.
I mean, yeah.
No, I'm not going with that. I'm going with a Russell Wilson shit performance, and I'm thinking that the Dallas Cowboys, who just beat the brakes off another NFL team, who was 500 going in, so it wasn't like they were 1-7 or anything like that. It was a 4-4 team. The Cowboys beat the shit out of them, and I think the Cowboys right now, as it stands, going into week 11, are pound for pound, power rankings-wise, the best team in the league.
Well,
tell me I'm wrong.
You're wrong.
I mean, you're going to tell me I'm wrong. Tell me why you're definitely wrong.
And the reason why is because it's like the reason what you just said. Mm-hmm. What happened to the Cowboys the week before?
Well, that's last week's power.
I understand, but like we
power rankings are week by week.
No, it's where the team stands right now, all things considered,
correct
up to this point. Right now, the Cowboys, where they started, they climbed up to where they belong. Right, I think that they're two. If I'm going to give my, how about this? Let's just run this back real quick. And we're going to go 10 to 1 because there's a good conversation to have at the top of this. But if we do that now, we're not going to want to talk about the Ravens and the
correct.
And the
other teams. Correct. You're absolutely right.
So what we'll do is, as far as the NFL power rankings go, I agree with the 10. I honestly wouldn't take any of the 10 away. Would you agree with that? I think the top 10 is solidified.
I think the top 10 is there. I just have it shuffled a little bit.
Of course. That's the point that I was making. Yeah. Now, coming in at 10, I have the Patriots.
Right? You're bumping the Patriots down.
Oh, actually, no. It's not the Patriots. It actually is the Ravens.
I have the Ravens, too. I have
your list. All right. So 10, Ravens are 10. We agree on that.
They're still sticking around. They've had their struggles. Like, it is what it is. They just really put up a piss-poor performance against the Dolphins. But the Ravens are still the Ravens, and I think they're going to be okay.
Okay.
That's where we're at.
I actually have the Rams at 9. I agree with that as well.
I
do, too.
I left the back end. The Rams got starched. They got crushed by the 49ers. We don't know where the Rams are going to be right now, but all of a sudden we think that the defense, at least the rush defense, is piss poor, and they're going to struggle against the run if anybody has a competent running back. I'm with it at 9.
I actually fucked this up.
Okay.
This graphic. So if you're looking at this, it's wrong.
Oh, cool.
Right? That's why I fucked up, because I'm like, the Patriots, I don't have the Patriots at 10. NFL.com.
Oh, so you put your rankings up here?
Yeah, actually has.
You put your rankings at 8. Up here.
I mixed my rankings and the NFL.com. Remember I said yesterday going into the show how I was like, I prefer to rush. I almost work better
when
under
me,
pressure.
You and AJ and then like other times have done this show. Like we're like, oh, it's 11:01. Like, why aren't we live yet? Like now in the last 2 days, we've been sitting here at 10:45. Like, all right, we got 15 minutes. Let's just chill.
So if there's anybody watching this right now that has any knowledge of the actual NFL power rankings right now, we lose all credibility, which is okay.
No, because, fine. But let's continue. Guess what?
The NFL.com power rankings don't really have credibility.
Or Fugazi yet, right? As well. Yes, I think they're Fugazi.
Outside of the top team.
Fine.
But that's another conversation. No, I won't say fine.
But guys, so we got the Ravens and the Rams are 9-10. That's solidified. Who do you have at 8?
I have the Chiefs. And the reason why this is funny is because I think the 6 through 10 right. here
is yours.
Is mine.
Okay.
Right?
Fine.
So get that out of the way.
Whatever. This is a jumble. This is who's in the top 10. There you go.
Right, so like, I'm like, all right, I agree with NFL. I was like, no, I don't recall agreeing with them when I made my list. So yeah, we're just going to go through it. Chiefs are my number 8 team. The Chiefs right now, they started off like shit. Their defense has been terrible. But outside of the Green Bay game where they really didn't play well, they just got lucky because Aaron Rodgers wasn't there.
Uh-huh. That's what we're going with.
I mean, yes, you don't agree. Well, they would have won by 40. The Chiefs are the Chiefs.
Well, in that regard, how much are the Cowboys going to win?
And because
this week?
The Cowboys aren't as good as Green Bay. But that's another
story. Cool.
The Chiefs
is
are the Chiefs.
Is 44 higher than 17 or no? Is that 43? 43 is higher than 17? That's how
the
many.
The Cowboys just gave up 40 to the Broncos.
No, they did not. They didn't give up 40. Come on.
What was it, 38?
Doesn't matter. It wasn't 40.
All right.
So, go ahead.
So the Chiefs, they're atop the AFC West. For as bad as they've played right now, they control their own destiny to get into the postseason and host a playoff game. Obviously, when it comes down to it, late in December, the Chiefs getting home games, they're going to be tougher to beat now. They have some moxie back. Their offense played a little bit better.
Mm-hmm.
Granted, it was against the Raiders, who I think are now completely a mess. But
sure, glad we got them on Turkey Day.
That happened fast.
You know that's going to happen. You know, I know the writing is on the wall. The Raiders are going to reel, and then they're coming to Dallas on Thanksgiving. And
you would never hear me say that about the Packers, but go ahead.
Say what?
I would never admit that my team would lose to the Raiders at home on Thanksgiving.
So, have you watched the Cowboys on Thanksgiving last couple years?
So coming in at number 6 is the Bucks. I understand that I have the Bucks over the behind the team like the Patriots, who they have beaten, but it was a close game. And at that point, the Mac Jones wasn't the Mac Jones that we're getting right now.
There's your list. That brought it up. He brought up NFL.com. Look at AJ Bascone, the prop beaver himself, still producing from afar. And I love it.
Gotta love it.
Gotta love it.
So here's where it gets interesting to me at 6 and 5 is the Patriots at 6 and the Bills at 5. And I think this is going to be the best race going down the stretch in the whole league, outside of maybe the Rams and the Cardinals. But I don't think the Rams are as good as people thought they were, clearly, by the way they've been playing the last couple weeks. But we get 2 games in December. We're both excited about it. I think everybody's excited about it. That's football to me. Cold weather, division on the line. I'm excited. Can't wait for that. Cardinals are number 4 because they've lost two in a row. They didn't lose two in a row. They lost 2 of the last 3, but they're without their Kyler Murray and DeAndre Hopkins. They did beat up on the 49ers 2 weeks ago with both those guys out. I don't think Kyler's going to be out much longer. I think he's
probably going to play this week.
He was a game-time decision last week. Yeah. So they managed to weather the storm and go 1-1 without their stars on offense. I think the Cardinals are a legit team. Their defense, maybe not down the stretch, will tail off. But as it stands right now, you got to give them their due.
Okay.
Now, I got the Cowboys coming in at number two. Even though I'm looking at this list and it has them at number three. The Titans are number three right now. They made it to this point by beating the Bills on the road. The Titans, every time they go into a game, you expect them to lose, and they pull it out, except for the Jets. Somehow they managed to lose to the fucking abysmal Jets.
It feels like everybody gets one.
Exactly. So the Titans will throw that one away. Every team has that game, except Dallas. That was the real Dallas that you saw when they lost by 40 to the Broncos. And rounding out the top two, which is where we could start our conversation and end it, the Dallas Cowboys and the Green Bay Packers. Packers 1, Cowboys 2. I know that you think that Dallas is a little bit better than Green Bay right now. I'm not sure what you're basing it off of.
What am I basing the Cowboys being better than the Green Bay Packers right now?
Yeah.
Is I'm basing it off of our defense causes more turnovers than the Packers do.
How many more? Are you sure about that?
Yes, I'm very sure about that. I'm very sure about that.
How many more, though? You allow more points. The Packers are top three in the league in total points allowed.
I think the Dallas defense is just a smidge. Not like better, like leaps and bounds. I think the Dallas defense is better, and I think the Dallas offense is better. You can't deny what the Dallas offense has right now.
I think right now the Dallas offense, you could make the case that it's better, but I think that Packers
might be the best in the league.
I think that's
tell
true.
Me another offense that's better.
But the thing that we have is Aaron Rodgers, and correct. I know that you guys have your quarterback, but at the same time, it's been proven what Aaron Rodgers does to the Dallas Cowboys. So I think going into the game until you get over that hump, I can't do it. If you look out into the common room right now, and you look at where
it's called the lobby.
The lobby, right? If you look at what we have out there. Because there's no more common,
it's
ours. You know how we have the tiered shelves?
Yeah.
Who's at the top?
The Packers, that's by rule.
By rule. So as of right now, the Packers control their own destiny in the NFC. I think that they have a way tougher schedule than the Cowboys up to this point going forward. So
funny you should mention their schedule. Like, a lot of people are thinking that the Packers can drop the next two. You know, because that's...
Yeah, a lot of people were thinking that they could drop like four of their last five going into 2 weeks ago. I remember there was somebody here, Joe LaCorey, was like, honestly, am I crazy to say the Packers could lose four or five? And I was like, yeah.
And you thought he was crazy.
He was crazy because the Packers are a really good team. Forget the offensive struggles right now. I'm not worried about the offensive struggles because the whole situation the last 2 weeks has been Aaron Rodgers out with COVID. Couldn't practice for 10 days, goes into Seattle, and you expected to get that out of the first half, Aaron Rodgers. They put up 3 points. Sputtered out in the red zone a bunch of times. So, as far as I see it, we don't have the offense there yet, but we do have that ace in the hole with Aaron Rodgers.
Now, I bring this to you. I mean, this is all stuff you could find on the Packers Pulse, which drops periodically whenever things go down, and you can listen to my Cowboys takes on All About the Star. But I will ask you this, and this is a sports... overall question, not as a Packer fan, as a football fan, do the Green Bay Packers struggle without Aaron Jones? Because A.J. Dillon, don't get me wrong, we've talked about him and touted him for the entire preseason. I said, this guy should get more carries. He's a monster. He's an ox, blah, blah, blah. Can he be that three down back?
Yes.
Or is he going to gas himself? Because, he's a bigger dude.
It's weird the way the Packers do this. They don't really do the whole first, second down, third down back situation. It's not like you get Aaron Rodgers first, second down. They alternate series.
It's kind of what Dallas does.
You look at A.J. Dillon. He's 258 pounds. He's a solid beast.
He's a boar.
When you look at him, the body, yes, he could handle three down territory. But is he able to block as well as Aaron Jones? That remains to be seen. I think what you've seen out of the last 2 weeks with Aaron Jones healthy was A.J. Dillon starting. He started the last two games. So they clearly are involving A.J. Dillon more. I expected that as the weather broke and got a little colder. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I do believe that A.J. Dillon, especially for only 2 weeks, could definitely shoulder the load. But you know what happens when you get injuries. Like, if A.J. Dillon goes down now, then what? So, of course, it hurts the depth, but
okay.
That's the NFL, bro.
Yeah, no, I get it. When my personal rankings, as far as, you know, the Ravens and the Rams, I got that. I got Tampa all the way down to about 8 right now because I don't find that Tampa Bay, I find that their last two games are very telling of where this team might wind up going. There's a thing, and we all heard it. We all know this phrase, the Super Bowl hangover, right? The hunger, the desire, the drive. Like, you just did it. Do you have the drive to go do it again? That's why you don't see back-to-back champions anymore in the NFL. I just feel like it's a thing where people just get complacent. Tom Brady's getting older, right? His receivers, while very good and talented, are older. They're going to break down a little easier. Godwin ain't no spring chicken anymore.
Well, Godwin's
a little younger. Mike Evans has been around. Gronk has been out. You know what I mean?
Like, I don't know that Gronk will ever play football again.
I think he'll get back in there once they start rolling. But, like, Tom Brady, he might be showing his age. So maybe this is the push over of the push aside. Like, Tampa, thanks for coming. Look, but here are the better teams in the NFL.
I think the Bucs were in a very similar spot last year at this time where Tom Brady had his
struggles. So were the Chiefs in their Super Bowl year where they were like, right there, and the defense was, and then they just.
I think that Tom Brady had his struggles each of the last four regular seasons. And then what happens is, in the postseason, it's just that feel in the locker room. It's like, oh, well, we have Tom Brady. Even in the Packers game, through three picks, it doesn't matter. Like, the feel in the locker room is we have Tom Brady. Right. You're going to win.
Right.
So, yeah, well, I do think Tom Brady's showing his age, but I don't think that
we'll
matters.
We'll see. We'll see. Like I said, right now they're there. Right under them, below them, I have the Cardinals. I know they've lost games because of Kyler Murray being obviously not present. But I got this feeling, man. I got this feeling that this team's going to start showing its cards. And I think that the NFC West, stop me now if you think I'm crazy, but I think the NFC West all of a sudden becomes a three-team race. Because I got, on the cusp of our 10, which we can go into in a second, those San Francisco 49ers, man, just wait on them. Now that I watched what they just did, right, and they handled business, right? After watching them do what they did, I got a feeling. I got this feeling that with Garoppolo being a game managing, let's just put him in the Alex Smith category, right? Not making the dumb mistakes, handing the ball off to your running offense, getting that ball to Kittle, because boy, when he gets that ball, he is a game changer, right? Deebo Samuel is now on another level to me. Like, I just think that he's so. Watch out now that the Rams and the Cardinals, while they think they're running away with this thing as the one and the two in that division, watch out for the 49ers. That's all I'm saying. But then under them, I got the Patriots being there. Again, we've talked about it time and time again that all of a sudden Bill Belichick is doing it without Tom Brady. It's an amazing story. We're all on the Mac train right now. Mac Jones is the guy. We're excited about it. I'm excited about it. I'm excited to be able to root, or not root, but pull for the Patriots right now, because it's just like, in my sports world, it's like I hate the city of Boston. I hate everything about it, right? But there's something different about it this year in particular. It's almost like Bill Belichick trying to stick it to him.
I feel like I almost feel like the Patriots are the anti-Patriots. It's hard to explain.
Yeah, no, it's, yes, but I know that.
There's so many Patriot fans that jump ship and was like, oh, it's been all Brady, and now they're actually wearing these split jerseys, which is the worst thing in the human race.
If you ever run out of toilet paper, that's your first go-to, because good Lord, split jerseys, everybody? Come on.
I just can't understand it, but the Patriots are the anti-Patriots. I'm hard on the Patriots, and that's...
Yeah. Pause, but yeah, sure. Hard on for the Patriots. Whatever. That's quotable. Anyway. But anyway, the Kansas City Chiefs are under the Patriots. The Cowboys got the Chiefs this week. If you want a full preview, again, All About the Star, available now wherever your podcasts are sold. But go check that out as I preview that game. But the Chiefs are right around where I thought they were going to be at this point of the season. Like, well, not really, because I had them going 21-0 or whatever the case may be, 20-0. I have them like as they were starting to progress a little bit. Patrick Mahomes is showing like, hey, I was forcing everything. Was forcing them all, and I don't think that's who Patrick Mahomes is, nor do I think that's a good impersonation of him, right? But I think Patrick Mahomes is finally coming into form, and I think he's probably going to light up the Cowboys a little bit. It's up to the Cowboys to score more to win that game, right? Under them, the Bills, I feel like after the beatdown that they just had of the Jets, that was very similar to the Cowboys saying, like, you're a team that has no business being on the same field as us. We're about to prove it to you right now. They did that. Go check out the goddamn Jets. Oh, happy birthday. Happy birthday to Kim Cantoni. It's her birthday today, so go download her podcast if you want to give her a gift. And then the top three, I got the Green Bay Packers at three, okay? Only for the sole purpose of not a convincing win over a lesser team. I don't find, even with Russ, I don't find the Seattle defense to be anything. You gave up a pick to a guy that can't pick a ball. You know what I mean? And it was a bad throw, and Aaron Rodgers isn't perfect. We get that. But I got them there because I got the Titans being more impressive because they're doing it with a shit ton less.
I struggled to figure out where you come up with a not a good win. We shut them out. Russell Wilson hasn't been shut out his whole career.
I quoted myself in saying that I'm more impressed, and I said this on the roundtable.
So you had the Cowboys. Like going into this week, you had the Packers probably higher than the Titans.
Yes.
So coming off of a shutout, the Titans bump up. It's hard.
It took 3.5 quarters for you guys to score some points too. So like and that defense is bad. The Seattle Seahawks. Like they're not. They're not the Legion of Boom. That's where I'm putting them, and that's not where I'm saying they deserve to be. But that's where they're at in my rankings. The Titans have done it with less. Mike Vrabel, coach of the year candidate, all of a sudden, like he is the guy that's really turning it up. It's so funny because I definitely talked to my brother about this numerous times about the Titans defense, and it's something that we wrote off, me and you, in the spring, right? Like when we're talking about the upcoming season, well, all the Achilles heel is that Titans defense.
Their defensive line gets after it.
Bro, they all do. The secondary is playing well. Their linebackers are playing
front.
Well.
It does start up front
because it makes everybody better, right? You'd have to cover for less if the defensive line is getting after it. That's where I got the Titans. And I got the Cowboys at one. I think the Cowboys right now firing on all cylinders. And I think that their team is the team to beat right now in the NFC if they get to where they think they can get to. And I think they can get to places that they haven't been since I was 11. So we'll see. You know, I hate doing that. I hate jumping all over it because we're bound to, you know, get our hearts broken. But this is where I attest this to. And I said it last night on the roundtable with the Cowboys. I said the Dallas Cowboys right now are feeling like the Green Bay Packers felt in 1992. Can't get over that Cowboys hump. 92, 93, 94, they couldn't get past the Cowboys, right? 95 even, they couldn't do it. They couldn't get it done.
You are a fucking dreamer, Dave, let me tell you. You ain't getting past that hump until Aaron Rodgers is out of town. So hopefully for
your
sake.
I'll tell you when we get past the hump. This year, we destroy the hump. It's over.
No.
Green Bay Packers, I know you want this swan song, this last dance, but nobody in the world likes Aaron Rodgers right now.
I think the Cowboys have like, I love Aaron
Besides
Rodgers.
You and Packer me? Fans and shareholders.
And not even really all the Packer fans, honestly. That's another conversation.
That's what I'm saying.
I don't care, but wait.
No, but that's what I'm saying. How does your own fan base not like your quarterback?
Because of politics, Dave.
It sucks. That's such a cop out. But anyway, the Cowboys are my number one team. Now, before we go into, are there any teams kind of, you know, clawing like your cat? They're scratching at that top 10.
You look at the top 10, and that's who I think are the only real good teams in the NFL. The thing is, not that I shouldn't say that. The Steelers are a good team.
Don't be Jimmy.
there's some good teams. There's some teams that could put it together. But four teams that are not in this top 10 are playoff teams. Out of those teams, right? What do we got? How many AFC teams do we have? Three AFC teams up here. So four of them have to be from the AFC. All of them. Right?
Mm-hmm.
There's seven NFC teams up here?
No. One, two, three, four, five. Five out of the... So
50%. So 50%. The fuck my math is. This is what happens. I'm looking at two lists again.
Don't do that.
I think if you look at the NFC, right? Just by the record right now, the Saints sit there, and I don't even know who the next team is.
49ers.
The 49ers are half a game out.
Oh, the Carolina Panthers.
Panthers, okay. Mm-hmm. So,
which they have no business being there.
Cam's done. Cam's not Cam anymore.
Cam now owned by Da New Dogs.
So
my dad's favorite fantasy.
I know that the Packers have Minnesota this weekend, mm-hmm. right? But that's one of the teams that I think have
a chance.
Is
that in Minnesota?
No.
Oh, it's in Green Bay?
No.
I think it's in Minnesota.
Yeah, it's in Minnesota.
Could be tight. Could be tight.
Could it?
Hey, what? Listen, now here's another thing. If you go into Minnesota and lose, okay, let's be clear here. The Dallas Cowboys beat the Vikings with Cooper fucking Rush.
Listen.
And then Aaron Rodgers drops one there? If so facto, Cooper Rush is better than Aaron Rodgers.
If that's what you do, and I'm glad you went there with it because obviously you know that has nothing to do with anything.
Obviously,
right?
It's a division
matchups
game.
Make everything.
Oh, of course.
The Denver Broncos just beat the shit out of you. I could name some teams that beat the shit out of them. Does that make them better? No.
Yeah, but I mean, whatever. Right? No. Did you actually take me serious?
I started to until you said Cooper Rush, and I was Dave.
It's a funny thing to say.
Yes, okay.
Cooper Rush beat the Vikings. Why can't Aaron Rodgers? You know, but like obviously the Vikings are going to play the Packers a little differently than they play the Dallas Cowboys, who they see once every four fucking years. You know what I mean? So I'm not worried about that. So you're talking about teams that are scratching the surface. I have a hypothetical for you as a Packer fan. Well, I'll use actually, this could be a thing, right? Ready for this? So last night, I'm discussing the Cowboys playoff seeding with the Blogging the Boys roundtable, and we're thinking two or three p- potentially one if things go really right, right? So if the Cowboys, they're going into week 18. So I'll spin this and make it about the Packers. The Packers are going into week 18. And I know this isn't the schedule. Unless they play, do they play the Vikings the last week?
They play the Lions.
All right, well then, Jesus Christ. But all right, let's just say they play the Vikings, right? Last week of the year. The Packers have their seed locked. They're the two, not say one. Let's say Tampa runs away somehow, right? They're the two seed. You have a home game. You know it's there. You know it's the Packers. The Vikings play the Packers week 18. The Vikings need a win, and in scenario, in which if they win, they would play the Packers in round one. Let's just say, right?
I would love it.
Now, wait. Now, here's the question. Do you rest your starters on week 18 and let them coast, let the Vikings coast into the playoffs, which they would be hot because in order to get that last seed in the playoffs, you got to be relatively hot in December, right? And then play them again the next week with confidence?
Yeah.
Okay.
You know how I feel about things like that.
All right.
Because remember how I was with baseball season? I have no fear.
Yeah, and that how that wind up?
It had nothing to do with what I wanted.
Yeah, it did.
No, it didn't.
Boston.
No,
Boston
it didn't.
Beat our ass.
And yeah, the Packers have a good history against Minnesota in the postseason, so I would relish the opportunity to knock out my division rival in the postseason, being that we would probably
But you could have stomped them out and not even let them in the playoffs in week 18 if you win.
Yeah, but I think that we would be like 7.5-point favorites in that game, so I'm good. And if it's week 18 and we don't need it and it's a seeding thing, by all means, I don't want Aaron Rodgers or anybody getting hurt.
Oh my God, you did the same thing.
You could go out there and put them in for a little bit, go through the reps, treat it like a real game, and then come right the fuck out. Because if you don't need it, you don't need it.
That's what I said to the guys. They gave me that scenario with the Eagles. The Dallas Cowboys do play the Eagles, and the Eagles are on right now on the cusp of my
– I look at
– And the Eagles got a nice little cupcake schedule, so if they – start running the table. Not they won't run the table, but if they get to 9-10 wins, right, and they're potentially to be the seventh seed, and Dallas is chilling there at 2, that would be your first round matchup. What I wanted, I said absolutely not, like because I just think that the division games are just too much for me to handle. I can't handle that one. Give me the Saints. Give me the Panthers. Give me anybody else but the division rivals. I know you relish in the opportunity. I say stomp on their throats in week 18. Don't let them in the playoffs. I think that
there might be something to it. Like the Packers have completely dominated their division for the last 20 years, so I have zero fear of any of the teams.
So
yeah, it's been very up and down with which team has been dominant.
Right,
but the Packers have been.
They haven't had a back-to-back
the clear cut dominant team in that division. So I have no real fear of any team.
Well, that's good that you answered that because I was ganged up on by four other analysts saying you gotta rest your starters. If the seed is there, you play the Eagles in the next round, blah, 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 or the first round. I'm like, you guys are high.
I'd rather have people criticize me because we lost because of the hypothetical scenario where our guys were cold because I rested them than have a situation where my starting quarterback was not able to play because I didn't. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, like, I get that.
One is a hypothetical.
And that was the argument. That
one is a hypothetical. One is a guarantee. Like, you get your quarterback hurt, it's like, you fucked up, coach.
Yeah.
If you rest him and you lose because of it, it's like, you made the right move, the team didn't execute, or you didn't execute. So, it's a no-brainer to me.
Okay. You got it. I like it. I like it a lot. So, yeah, I do have, like, the 49ers and the Eagles as those teams that just...
Look. So, out of the teams, right? Out of these teams, two of them have to make the playoffs. The Eagles... the Panthers, the Vikings, the Saints, the 49ers, the Seahawks. I think that any of them have, all of them have almost an equal chance. Obviously not really because there's teams that are a full game
and they're going to bounce each other.
But what happens when a lot of these teams have to play each other, a lot of them control their own destiny to catch the team that's a game and a half above them because it's a division thing. So very interesting to see how the NFC is going to play out down the stretch and which of these teams could actually creep into the top 10.
It's kind of nice not having to worry about it though. It is. It's a different feeling for me. It's nice to be interested in that seven seed. You know, like, oh, I wonder who's going to get it. This is going to be gonna fun. Who are we going to play?
Where are we going to play?
Well, we know we're going
to
play
and
in Dallas.
Now, this is what I said to you. Over the course of the next few weeks, I said to you a month and a half ago, I said, Dave, you're going to start to change the way you approach this season as the season progresses. Looking at eight teams, eight wins, nine wins, 10 wins. You're going to start hoping the Rams drop. The Packers dropped.
A lot of things went our way last week with the Rams losing, the Cardinals losing. Like those things.
Basically,
happened.
even 2 weeks ago when we both dropped a game, it was
everybody else lost.
So it took some of the sting away. Right. I agree, 100%.
All right. So from the top upper echelon, let's just for our listeners' sakes, because sometimes we don't get to talk about their teams because they stink. Do you have a bottom feeders of this league right now? We have the top 10. Who are your bottom three?
Bottom three is hard because I think it's a bottom four. And it's, okay. And then after the four, it's like a significant increase on who's the next best.
Okay.
The bottom team in the league to me is the Texans.
Okay.
I know that the Lions don't have a win, but for some reason I look at the Texans roster and it looks like the Texans, even their front office is not trying. Mm-hmm. To me, Detroit's in the same situation as the Texans, except they're not fire sailing any first, second, or third round draft pick that they've had over the last 5 years. To me, the Texans are the worst team because there's no effort from the front office. I don't buy into their coach. At least the Lions, who are the second worst team in the league, their coach believes in the team. They fight. They have a former first pick overall at quarterback who clearly isn't doing it. No. But who would in Detroit?
I was going to say, you went and got Josh Reynolds as your WR1.
And so. then rounding out is like, the third worst team in the 3A is the Jaguars and the Jets. And we could talk about it, but...
I mean, I'm with you.
Urban Meyer, Robert
I think there's
Sala.
Like different trends. Like there's teams that are trending down, trending up, and then like are status quo. I got the Jaguars as like the team that's like status quo right now. They know where they're at. They know their role. Like they're a bottom of the pack team right now because of A, the coach, B, the quarterback, C, XYZ. You know what I mean? Like, there's multiple reasons, but they're just right there. They're in every game all of a sudden. Nobody's getting, they're not getting the shit kicked out of them anymore. They're almost winning games. So I got them, like, even, right? The team trending up to me is the team that just got a tie. The Lions aren't the worst team in the league anymore because they do fight, and they have a coach who has these players inspired, playing inspired football in November, knowing the season is literally over, right? The season is over. They got to know that. They have to suit up and play a football game every week. So kudos to the Lions. Despite their shit record, they're trying, right? The team that's trending down the most, and you know what? I'll put the Texans on that even keel team because we all kind of said Texans are shit. They're never going to be good. A couple times they rose to the occasion and backdoor covered, and then like a couple times they were just like, we suck.
Yeah.
It's over. So I got them right in the middle. The team that's trending down the most is the Jets. The Jets are really upsetting me because, A, Jimmy thinks I'm a Jets fan or my son's a Jets fan, whatever the case may be. It's upsetting to me because the most excited I was for a Jets team and fan base was this year. You know, you get Robert Saleh, the coach that I love the most. I said, if McCarthy wasn't hired, that's the guy I want. He's up in your face. He's just high intensity. That's the coach that you want, right? Then you go out and draft Zach Wilson, who looks like Mahomes a Jace, you know, the headband, the looks, he's got that Joe Willie Namath moxie to him that he could be the next star in New York. And then everything just literally like a jet, no, not to be morbid, but it just, and it boom, crashes. And it's just bad news because then we all talk about Mike White. We all jumped all over that one. And then today.
Speaking of Mike White.
Today the announcement made Joe Flacco.
The Mike White era is officially
Dunzo.
Over.
And insert Joe Flacco because, A, you know, this is the reason, is because Zach Wilson, quote, isn't 100%. But, guys, that's your quarterback. That's your guy. Why don't you go out there and fight? This kid should be clawing at the opportunity to get back on the field against the Miami Dolphins,
who's,
bro.
Who's to say that he's not? They have a medical staff that's dictating all that.
Yeah, I know, but it just feels
if he
like...
If he was 28 and he was a veteran and he had any say whatsoever, then I could understand your point where it's like, you know, he's like, no, I'm playing. I don't give a shit what you say. Yeah. But at the same time, what's the point? Is he going to develop? Is he going to get better?
I don't
better
know, man. I just...
Behind the offensive line that's not protecting?
Like, I feel like, and I don't know Robert Saleh. I don't know him personally, right? But I feel like he's the kind of coach that says like, rub some dirt on it. You want to be the starter here? Come on in. You're playing. Joe Flacco in there is literally conceding.
It's 2021. You can't be like rub some dirt on it anymore. The medical staff dictates that. The coaches don't even have a say at all.
I guess I'm old school.
And if they do have a say, a lot of people will be in trouble. So Robert Saleh, you know what the coaches do in the NFL now? Not just him, everybody. They just defer to the medical team. When it comes to injuries, they're not doctors. They're there to call plays. You ever see a guy get hurt on the sideline? I mean, a guy get hurt pretty seriously, like a star player. The coach, you might see a small reaction, but you know what he really does? He looks down at his playbook and he keeps coaching the game because they have to have that mentality, next man up. Joe Flacco, as crazy as it sounds, might actually give them a better chance to win right now. If that's, you know, listen, Joe Flacco at least knows how to run an offense.
There was conversations that Joe Flacco once upon a time was an elite quarterback. I never bought into that theory, but
no.
He did win a Super Bowl. You know what I mean?
But so Joe Flacco is, you know, he's a little more developed, we'll say, than Zach Wilson is. Zach Wilson's 16. Give him some time.
I don't know. Maybe when Dak was benched the other 2 weeks ago because of the calf, you know, and they let Cooper Rush go in there, I was like, oh, man, I don't want this. This sucks. Why would you do this? He wants to play. You know he wants to play. And then, like, they side in on the side of precaution, right? Because Dak Prescott is your franchise $100 million quarterback, yeah. Right? With Zach Wilson, I think, like, this kid has been here for literally a juice box, and I would say a cup of coffee, but you called him 16, so I think it's pretty funny.
That's good. I didn't even pick up on it.
Not bad, right? So he's been there for a juice box squeeze, right? And all of a sudden, he's like, well, you know, he's not 100%. Go get him, Joe. And it's just like, man, you really just you gave up on the season. That was your give-up moment. That was your, like, you know what? Fuck it. It's Miami. Who cares? You know, like, let's see what Joe Flacco's got. Why are we seeing what guys got? You got to go start your boy that you just drafted second overall.
I don't think that they're seeing what Joe Flacco's got. I think that they kind of saw a little bit of what Zach Wilson's got, and they see that, guess what? He's not ready. So why put him out there? You realize what happens to confidence.
I get that regard. But
look at Sam Darnold. Mm-hmm. When you get thrown into the fire, sometimes it's good, but it's good when you have guys around you can lean on. When we talked about the Jets yesterday, they only have rookies that are good. You know, or young guys. It's not like you have this veteran presence in the locker room that you could be like, hey, you know who that guy is right now?
Joe Flacco.
Joe Flacco. Yeah. Right? Well, so it makes sense to me. I don't think it's, let's see what Flacco got. I think that everybody knows what Joe Flacco's got. It's like, we also don't need to see our guy that we just invested a lot of money in and a high draft pick get hurt on a 2-6 team that's going nowhere.
Yeah. Well, I get your theory. I just have this other one.
There's also the reality that Robert Saleh's probably got a long leash given the situation with the Jets roster and what he inherited. I think that it's a long-term play by him, is understanding it's like, look, you know, what could I do this season to completely fuck up? And that is rush Zach Wilson back and get him seriously injured. That's like the only thing that he could do to fuck up right now, because the Jets aren't going to win many games. So you really just want to get through healthy, work on being a team that fights hard, but no reason for Zach Wilson.
So now you have, obviously we're talking about Robert Saleh. He is safe, I think, because of everything that's gone on with the Jets, right? Is there anybody you think is on the hot seat right now that can get fired based off a piss poor first year performance? Like Urban Meyer, like obviously
it's
his
hard,
team's going
to
stay.
It's hard. It's hard for me to say any of the guys. Urban Meyer for other reasons, but they let him stay through that. So you know, I think that they're going to give him a little bit of a leash as well. It's more so the teams that had expectations that are failing to meet them. I don't know that there's many teams right now that have anybody on the hot seat. Maybe Matt Rhule in Carolina, if things just completely implode on him. Maybe. I mean, he's got a high-powered offense to start, but now they're sputtering. Carolina right now is in a playoff position, but the high-powered offense isn't what he had. Obviously, the quarterback situation is bad. I'm just trying to spitball here because I don't really have a coach that I think is mid-season potential to get fired.
I think if the 49ers went down a shitty road, Shanahan was going to be one of those guys they're talking about. Like, maybe he's a better coordinator.
You're talking about right now? Like, maybe there's several coaches on the hot seat, but I don't think there's anybody at risk of getting fired mid-season.
Not mid-season, no. I wouldn't see that at all. Not even the bottom-feeding teams. Like, maybe the Texans guy? I don't know. Like, He just seems like he's literally created.
Like, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? Bring in a new voice to that locker room at this point?
I don't know, but there are going to be some guys next year that are chomping at the bit for a head coaching job. We talked about a couple of the guys, like Byron Leftwich. You know, he's going to get a job.
Eric Bieniemy's been Bieniemy's
been, due. Been shit, man. He should have been hired 3 years ago by somebody, right? There's other guys. The Packers offensive coordinator. You know what I mean? Like, he's out there. He's young. He was up for the Falcons.
Kellen Moore, unfortunately.
I think that, for me, I think Jerry's already got him in the back pocket. That's just me. I said, you know, Kellen Moore is going to be promised a lot of things via contract, and then he'll take over.
That's a sticky situation, though.
They did it with Garrett.
But McCarthy has a long deal.
Not right? Really.
He doesn't?
I don't think so.
I thought he had
three.
Like a five-year deal.
Nah, I think it was three. I could be wrong, but even if it's five, right? Let's just say the Cowboys go in, they win the Super Bowl this year. McCarthy can ride into the sunset and say, you know what? That was great. This is what I wanted to do. I got what I wanted to get done.
Oh, yeah, we forgot to mention that when discussing how the Packers are better. Head coach is clearly better. I think that you will even agree with that.
Yeah, I like LaFleur. I do. He doesn't lose many games. I think he's got the best winning percentage in history in the first 3 years of his career. So, yeah. I mean, I would love a coach not to lose ever. But let's take a little break. 45-minute open. How do you like that? Let's take a little break. We got some news that we do want to talk about on the other side of this one. So stay with us. And first, hear this from our girl, Janine, from Absolute Eyewear. Be right back.
You know, myself and Gooch are both getting a little older. One of the first things to go is your vision. Thank goodness for our hookup over at Absolute Eyewear in Woodbridge, New Jersey, right on Main Street next to the train station. They have glasses for all ages, all budgets. They have safety glasses, sports glasses. They are a full-service powerhouse offering eye exams and even free lenses for the kids. They work with BCBS, AAA, AARP, giving massive discounts. They're open 5 days a week, closed on Wednesdays and Sundays. Call 732-326-3937 to get your first pair of Ray-Ban, Burberry, Coach, Polo, you name it, they got it. Go see Craig and Janine right now.
Hey, Chop Sports family, it's Jimmy Palumbo here. I am doing a stand-up show on November 27th, Saturday of Thanksgiving weekend at 7:30 p.m. at the Carteret Performing Arts and Event Center with great comedian Mike Marino. Phone number 877-849-2722 for tickets. Again, 877-849-2722, November 27th, 7:30. Jimmy Palumbo and Mike Marino live from Carteret, Central New Jersey's in the house.
All right, we are back, and we are back with a fantastic graphic made by our graphic extraordinaire, Chris Gucci. He
making up for the last blunder I had with the power rankings, which I'm still reeling from, by the way.
Yeah, you were even talking about it over the break.
It completely fucked me up for the, like, 15 minutes after. I was, like, trying to figure it out still. And then when we started doing the playoff, like the teams that were non-playoffs, I started looking again at the wrong power rankings. It was brutal situation.
But we do have some news. We talked about it yesterday. We broke it yesterday as it actually happened, like 5 minutes before we went live. Noah Syndergaard signing a big, big deal for 1 year, $21 million with the Los Angeles Angels. I don't know why I keep calling them Anaheim. Maybe it's the A on their hat. I don't know. But what you have here on your screen is I don't even know what. What am I looking at?
Yeah, the Mets dodged a bullet. Look, bro. Look what Noah Syndergaard turned into. I think that's the DirecTV Baker, or he needs a Snickers Baker. Or
you're hungry. Noah. Yeah, so many.
I keep saying Baker because it's the Hulu commercial that I'm biting off of. But
dude, that price tag, and from what I'm reading and for what you told me, so he took $4 million more, $3 million more to go to the Angels than to stay with the Mets. What does that say for the Mets?
Well, two things. One, I think the Mets dodged a bullet, right? Really? A lot of Met fans are upset at the player, saying, how could you leave for a little bit more money? And I'm like, wait, a little bit of... The quote was, until Mets Do Us Part Facebook group, the quote was, he left for a few more dollars. And I'm thinking to myself, I'm like, $3 million is not a few more dollars. And when you're talking about a guy coming off of not pitching in 2 years.
76 surgeries.
So he's clearly got a risk of injury going on where his career could end in a given moment. $3 million goes a long way in life. I'm not sure who you are, but $3 million is $3 million. I could see if it was spread over time, but in a one-year deal, $21 million, that's a no-brainer. And to counter that point, it's like, well, who's more at fault? Noah Syndergaard for going to where the deal was, taking $3 million more, or the Mets? If it's only a few dollars, then why didn't their billionaire owner pay a few more dollars to keep their guy?
Right.
My thing is, I think the Mets dodged a bullet by him signing this deal, because even Noah Syndergaard at $18 million for this season, and when I say this season, I mean like this quarter of a season before he gets hurt again, it's not worth it. And that will handcuff the Mets in any potential deal that they're going to be able to do for their lineup or pitchers that the DeGrom, is he due money soon? I would imagine that's where that money should go.
Scoop actually brings up a really good point. Says they don't have a GM or a coach, and maybe wants a little nicer weather. I get the nicer weather part, but dude, he's got a point. There's nobody in control of this Mets team. Why would you sign with a team that doesn't have anything?
For $3 million less.
For $3 million less, right.
$3 million, guys.
Right. Dude, all right. So in any event, there's one more topic we got to hit on, because I think when we're talking money, we're talking shares. And when we're talking shares, we're talking the ability to own an NFL franchise as a common man. What you're looking at right now on your screen is me, the common man, and Gooch, the one of the owners of the Green Bay Packers.
Yeah, very upsetting. Part of me is upset because I already own stock from 11 years ago.
Uh-huh.
And you know what happens when they resell stocks in the stock market? Your stock depreciates, and then eventually it has to climb back up.
Mm-hmm.
In this case, the disclaimer is that this stock is actually not worth a goddamn thing. It's worth the amount of money it costs to get printed. But the thing that I like about it is it gives us this connection to the team. I've been on record in saying I don't like that we don't have an owner for reasons that took place in the offseason with the mess with Aaron Rodgers. Mm-hmm. An owner could come in and shut that down. But for the opposite reason, this is cool. You know, being able to – I asked you this question. Do you think it's fair? Because the Packers are selling these stocks $300 a share, 300,000 shares. If you do the math, I think that's like 90 mil. That's like salary. That's the entire team's payroll.
So I was telling you in pre, so when they go out and they make a splash and they sign somebody, technically, you sign somebody.
I signed them. I get invites to the shareholders meeting every
this
year.
This is pretty cool. This is like real life Madden right here.
But do you think it's fair?
Do you think it's fair that the Packers are the only
team that could do this?
No, I just think the Packers to me are a different breed of NFL teams because I feel like they're the only team in the NFL in which the entire like town shuts down for a game, you know, yeah. Like nothing else is open on Sundays because the Green Bay Pack. I feel like they're like a college team with just a lot of talent.
It's like a high school town.
Right.
It's like, more, it, bro, if you drive down
the world the
street,
shuts down.
Lambeau
right.
Field is like a gas station across the street, you know, a shopping mall, and then Lambeau Field, and then houses. It's very strange.
Right, right. So it's different. And I think that's kind of cool. Would I be all on board if Jared Jones came out of nowhere and said, hey, for $1,000,
and he would charge $1,000, at least we're giving the Midwest discount.
Without even question.
A lot of people are up in arms about it, specifically fans of the Vikings and the Bears, and it's more or less because your team is so bad that you have nothing else just to hate the Packers. I get that aspect of it. But really, there's a lot of Packer fans that are bashing it and saying, how could you spend $300 on a piece of paper? And it's like, well, how could you spend $300 on a fucking jersey of a guy that's going to leave in a season?
Boom. Right? And it's authentic. So it's even more than $300.
And even more so.
Not from China.
Right? How come nobody makes a peep about all the taxpayer dollars that your local government puts into these subsidized stadiums for billionaire owners? You get what I'm saying? So, like, you're paying $300 for a share. You get a nice keepsake to put on your wall, but nobody says a peep when the billionaire owner in your city gets fucking $400 million to build a stadium.
$1 billion. You know, like, over and over.
Yeah.
Dude, I'm on team this. This is actually really cool. You now have the rights to say we when referring to the Packers. When I say, they're like, oh, do you play for the team? I'm like, no, I don't play for the team. Do you pay the team? You pay into the team. So you could say we when talking about the Packers.
Like, that's why I was so up in arms about the Aaron Rodgers situation. I'm like, guys, just call me. Right? I'll get this done. I'll get this shit done.
Perfect. Right. Just listen. I'm one of many other shareholders. And do you know off the top of your head or have you read how many people have shares in the Packers right now? They're selling $300,000 right now. But like, do you know how many people are involved right now with this ownership? You have any idea?
Like overall, how many people?
Yeah, yeah.
Look, this is not real. You understand? So it's like, it's just a revenue generator essentially for a piece of paper. So there is no real stock. I don't actually own any piece of the Packers.
I would so put that on your business card, bro.
There is like no
Chop
way.
Sports,
CEO. I actually have it framed. I'll bring it in.
Bring it in, put it on the wall, dude. 100%. That's great.
But yeah, there is no real value to it. Like I said, I can't sell it to somebody else. You know what's cool too, though?
What?
You had to wait in line all day. And yesterday, during the day, all day, like Packers Twitter was going off. All the players were waiting in line. So like AJ Dillon post, Aaron Jones post, like, dude, I'm still in line. He's like, and then when they finally get through, he's like, now I could officially say I own myself. Like I'm paying my own salary because the Packers players were all lining up and buying stock. That's cool.
That's cool.
One of those things that you could connect with the fans with.
Right. That's
great
that's,
thing.
That is pretty badass. I like
actually
that.
Just got chills. That's
yeah. That see that's weird. That's how you know this shit means something to you, Gooch, as a Packer fan. Like I said, the Cowboys did it and said Jerry was like, "Give me $1,000, you get a piece of paper and say you can own a cow." I'm like, "Yes, sir."
And I say this Let's now. Do it. I say this now as the owner of the Green Bay Packers. Lambeau Field's name will never be changed.
Before we wrap, I did see the Staples Center is changing
to
Crypto.com Arena.
Disgraceful.
Like, bro, when we mentioned about the Rack changing over to Jersey Mike's Arena, like, I know AJ went nuts. He's like, I can't believe it, you know? But, like, dude, stop. Some of these places should never be touched. The Staples Center should be a staple in never changing their name, you know? It goes back to basketball. Dude,
at least make it the Crypto.com Center. Like, how could you make the center now an arena? I don't like that. I don't know why that's the thing that bothers me the most.
Yeah, well, whatever. It's something to discuss. Go follow all of our podcasts. Go make sure you subscribe to everybody. New episodes drop today. Chop Heads MMA is out there. All About the Star is out there. The goddamn Jets is out there. Tomorrow, the Mets will drop. Tomorrow in studio, we have Scoop doing episode 2. Scoop, hit us up later on because we want to discuss something with you anyway. You're fired. But a new episode of Cross Court Cast available Friday. They're going to touch on some basketball, some pro, some college, everything, all you got. ChopSportsMedia.com. Go check it out. We actually have the new tabs for you to easy access to all of our podcasts. You just hit the podcast thing, and then the whole drop-down menu happens, and then bang, you pick on whatever one you want. Do me a favor. Subscribe to all of them. So, for Sturch and Gooch, this has been another banger of an episode here on a hump day. Tomorrow, week 11 begins with another banger of a game because we get to watch the Patriots in primetime, I think. Yes, they play the Falcons in primetime. So we get to watch the Falcons, see if they can bounce back. We'll see. So until then, we'll see you guys later.
Still reeling over that fucking graphic.
Don't sweat it, bro.